Right, we took up our study again today, and we take up at that paragraph that says, "Now when the body of the prince's army saw how these three captains were put to the worst." But before that, I did want to read, just to bring us up to space, I wanted to read the note in our commentator from the book that we are using. I wanted to read that note concerning safe into the hold again. The three captains, you'll remember, Captain Credence, Captain Goodhope, and Captain Experience, found themselves in desperate danger and trouble by taking the war out to the enemy and outside the walls. But they managed barely to get back into the hole, back into the wall, back into the city. And that is the comments of this note. He said it had been well they had not left it. The hole, that is, the city. It had been well they had not left it. Presumption was the beginning of Babel, and confusion was the end of it. And so, in this phase of the soul's history, which, of course, you understand, that's what this whole holy war allegory is. It's the soul's history in allegorical form. In this phase of the soul's history, presumption led it forth on its unbidden errand, and it is driven back in swift retreat with bleeding wounds and sore confusion. Its chiefest and its strongest principles, its faith and hope and tried experience, all placed by that terrible night's untimely attack in the combat. And well is it that from the peril without, there is a retreat within, that the heart is still open to receive the returning gifts of God, and is straight closed again to withstand the now renewed assault of Satan. So the simple point that the commentator is making is that to have gone forth at all, to have gone out of the walls of the city, to have gone forth to attack the enemy, was an act of presumption. It was presumptuous because of, you remember, they had been having of late great success in their battle with the Diabolians inside man's soul. They had made great strides. They had caught many of them and executed them publicly. They were just getting on well. That is, as well as the soul can get on in the absence of Emmanuel, and relying only on those captains whom he has left behind. I'll say that again. They are doing well as can be done without the presence of Emmanuel and under the governance of those principles, those captains that were left behind. But because they were, in fact, making strides of improvement, they became presumptuous and decided to go forth outside the walls and attack. And of course, the result of that was, as you will remember, disastrous for the city, for the captains. In fact, they barely even got back in to the city, but they did. Murder said, "The night of darkness and desertion was not a proper season for this excursion. This sally seems intended to describe the prevalence of a self-confident spirit, which cannot issue well, for faith, hope, and experience are wounded. So there was this presumption, and they thought from it that they could go forth and they would be able to do well. And they suffered a great deal because of it. Now when the body of the prince's army saw how these three captains were put to the worst, they thought it their wisdom to make as safe and good a retreat as they could, and so returned by the sally port again, and so there was an end of this present action. But Diabolus was so flushed with this night's work that he promised himself in a few days an easy and complete conquest over the town of Mansoul. The commentator said, flushed with victory, mad with rage, and hopeful of the issue, Satan assumes the offensive so soon as faith fails or is made weak. And now he promises himself many things, while the soul sees no promise of any good. For the eye of faith and the strength of hope and the power of experience are faint and low. Satan approaches the soul with boldness now and makes urgent demands upon its fidelity. When man's soul is weak, then is Diabolus strong. When the master is bold, the servants partake of his confidence, and so the Diabolians within the soul resume somewhat of their former courage from within and from without. The soul is threatened with imminent danger, and all because they presumptuously thought to take the battle out to the enemy's ground. Bunyan says, wherefore on the day following this night, when all this took place, he comes up to the sides thereof with great boldness and demands entrance, and that forthwith they deliver themselves up to his government. The Diabolians, too, that were within, they began to be somewhat brisk, as we shall show afterwards. So this whole endeavor was a disaster. An absolute disaster. And unnecessary. Uncalled for. This charge was not required. And they assumed they would have great victory, and they went out. And it was a disaster. But then I love the next paragraph. The first sentence. But the valiant Lord Mayor replied. Thank God for the valiant Lord Mayor. Replied that what he got, he must get by force. Satan comes up now in the paragraph we just finished. Diabolus comes up to the wall and demands that they capitulate right now. Open the doors, take him in, stop this war. He demands to be allowed to enter and that they submit themselves to his government. But blessed be the Lord. The Lord Mayor has got a word for Diabolus. That he got, that whatever he got, he must get it by force. For as long as Emmanuel, their prince, was alive, though he at present was not so with them as they wished, but as long as he's alive, they would never consent to yield man's soul to another. Commentator said, though faith is feeble and faint, yet in man's, is man's soul watchful. The understanding is not now darkened as before, nor has the God of this world blinded its spiritual eyesight. It has the office of the understanding to read in the revelation of mysteries and thus to be the advisor of the soul. Already we have found how he had picked comfort, you remember that, out of the mysterious message of the Lord Chief Secretary of the Holy Spirit. Once before he has picked comfort out of the message that came back, albeit not a positive message. Now, we find him again reading the mysteries of God and taking courage and comfort from the fact that the prince, though absent, is yet alive. Just the fact that he's alive. As long as Emmanuel is living, he said, living, we will not give. And while life remains in the covenant-keeping God, man's soul shall belong to none else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, this is a comforting and encouraging truth. He ever liveth. He ever liveth. Blessed the Lord for the Lord Mayor. He says to Satan in reply, you will get nothing, nothing by way of cooperation from us. Nothing as long as our prince is living. Hallelujah. Seen times that I wondered. But he's a covenant-keeping God. And as long as he is alive, he will keep his covenant. Bunyan says, and with that the Lord will be well, stood up and said, Diabolus, thou master of the den, and enemy to all that is good, we poor inhabitants of the town of Mansoul are too well acquainted with thy rule and government, and with the end of those things that for certain will follow submitting to thee, we're too familiar with it to do it. Wherefore, though while we were without knowledge, we suffered thee to take us, as the bird that saw not the snare fell into the hands of the fowler, yet, since we have been turned from darkness to light, we have also been turned from the power of Satan to God. And though through thy subtlety, and also the subtlety of the diabolians within, we have sustained much loss, and also plunged ourselves into much perplexity, yet give up ourselves, lay down our arms, yield to so hard a tyrant as thou, we shall not die upon the place we choose rather to do. Besides, we have hopes that in time deliverance will come from court unto us, and therefore we yet will maintain a war against thee. What a testimony. What a resolve. What a testimony. The note on the preceding page says, the will of man will be will stood up, Lord, will be will. He says the will of man, always so able an ally, for good or evil, now exercises his all-important office in strong resistance to the demands and assaults of Diabolus. His charge is over the walls and the gates and involves a double watchfulness. First, that the assailing force be not permitted to enter in without, from without, and secondly, that the lurking Diabolians shall not cooperate with them from within. The senses must now be closely guarded, and the flesh also kept in subjection, for it is through these that evil thoughts enter into the mind and evil deeds go forth. It is in the power of the will to encourage, or else to discourage, the rebels, to admit and entertain them, or to resist and slay them. On this occasion, at least, the will is resolute for good and bids them to their dens again. Both by words and deeds does Will Be Will prove himself a valiant man. So Will Be Will stands up behind the Lord Mayor and comments as well, and braves up to speak to Diabolus to tell him that they will not submit. Berger said, whatever temporary advantage Satan may gain over a gracious soul, and oh my Lord, the testimony of David, King David. He can at times gain a temporary advantage. Whatever temporary advantage Satan may gain over a gracious soul, yet the root of the matter remaining, it will not give place to him or patiently endure the thoughts of returning under his hellish tyranny. Thus, we have a doctrine. What do we call that doctrine? Perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints. He may gain a temporary victory, but he will not take this soul back again. And it will, will be will speaks, as well as the Lord Mayor. Bunyan says, this brave speech of the Lord will be will, with that also of the Lord Mayor, did somewhat abate the boldness of Diabolus, though it kindled the fury of his rage. It also succored the townsmen and captains, yea, it was as a plaster to the brave Captain Credence's wound. For you must know that a brave speech now, when the captains of the town with their men of war came home routed, and when the enemy took courage and boldness at the success that he had obtained to draw up to the walls and demand entrance as he did, you must know, that a brave speech right now was in season, and also advantageous. The Lord will be will did also play the man within. For while the captains and soldiers were in the field, he was in arms in the town, and wherever by him there was a Diabolian found, they were forced to feel the weight of his heavy hand and also the edge of his penetrating sword. Many, therefore, of the Diabolians he wounded, as the Lord Cabell, Lord Brisk, and Lord Pragmatic, and Lord Murmur. Several also of the meaner sort he did sorely maim, though there cannot at this time an account be given you of any that he slew outright. The cause, or rather the advantage, that my Lord Wilbywill had at this time to do thus was for that the captains were gone out to fight the enemy in the field. For now, thought the Diabolians within, is our time to stir and make an uproar in the town. What do they therefore but quickly get themselves into a body and fall forthwith to hurricaning in man's soul, as if now nothing but whirlwind and tempest should be there. They're going to stir it up because these brave captains have gone outside the wall, albeit ill-advised and ought not have done it, but they have gone outside the wall, and so now, while they're outside the wall, the Diabolians stirred themselves up, hurricaning in the soul. I love that Bunyan speaks of that. Our commentator says, this is a significant mode of expressing the wild and wanton ways of sin when it feels itself in any measure at liberty in the heart of man. Well, that's a good phrase. You young people should learn that. Hurricaning in the soul. That's a good way of describing what happens when sin is turned loose, let go. The commentator says, like pent-up winds released from their prison house, the evil principles of the corrupt nature run riot and play havoc in the soul. The breathing of a breath becomes a breeze, and this ere long becomes a storm, and this, waxing more presumptuous, buffets the soul with tempest wrath, so that it reaps the whirlwind. Hurricaning in the soul. Well, that's a good phrase right there. I think you ought to teachers, ought to make all you students learn that phrase and give it thought. Hurricaning in the soul. That's sin turned loose, having its own way. Bunyan says, and here's a statement of great theology right here. Bunyan says, "This brave act of my Lord did somewhat revenge the wrong done by Diabolus to the captains, and also did let them know that man's soul was not to be parted with for the loss of a victory or two." Now there's great theology right there. There's a colorful and beautiful statement of our doctrine of perseverance. They may have lost this skirmish, and indeed suffered real loss because of it. But they have not lost this town. And if the brave Lord will be well, and the Lord Mayor will step up, then this town will not be lost, and it will let the town of Mansoul know that it is not going to be parted with over the loss of one or two victories. Let that encourage your heart as a saint. Don't give up. When Satan has an advantage of you, don't give up the war. Don't give up the war. It's one thing to lose a battle. It's another to lose the soul. It's another to lose the whole town. Don't give up. Let Will Be Will stand and make a speech. Let the Lord Mayor stand and make a speech and say to Satan, anything you give, it'll be hard won. I won't hand it to you. Great theology there. Bunyan says, "Wherefore the wing of the tyrant was clipped again as to boasting." I mean, in comparison of what he would have done if the Diabolans had put the town to the same plight to which he had put the captains. So his wings of boasting were clipped on account of the speeches that were made for Mansoul. Mason said, "Though lust rage, they shall not reign. Though lust rage in God's dear children, they shall not reign. May our almighty captain enable us by his word and spirit to fight the good fight of faith, that we may lay hold of eternal life. We will not," he says, "we will not be done over. We will not be done out because of the loss of one or two victories. Battles." Well, Diabolus, Bunyan goes on, "Well, Diabolus yet resolves to have the other bout with Mansoul, for," thought he, "since I beat them once, I may beat them twice." Wherefore he commanded his men to be ready at such an hour of the night. You hear it? To be ready again for such an hour of the night to make a fresh assault upon the town. And he gave it out in special that they should bend all their force against Fieldgate and attempt to break into town through that. Now, need we make much application here? It is through our feelings that Satan, when all else has failed, in desperation, he will come against us by our feelings, how we feel. And it will be a night assault. And that's always a bad time for feelings. And he gave it out. And he gave it out in special that they should bend all their forces against Fieldgate and attempt to break into the town through that. The word that then he did give to his officers and soldiers was, "Hellfire." "And," said he, "if we break in upon them, as I wish we do, either with some or with all our force, let them that break in look to it that they forget not the word, and let nothing be heard in the town of Mansoul but hellfire, hellfire, hellfire." The drummer was also to beat without ceasing, and the standard bearers were to display their colors. The soldiers, too, were to put on what courage they could and to see that they played manfully with their parts against the town. It's a rhetorical question, but I ask it. Have you ever been there? You ever been there when all you could hear is hellfire, 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 hellfire? Satan is throwing everything he's got in there to discourage, to destroy, to take back the town of Mansoul. Berner said, "It is now determined to bend all the force of Diabolus against Fieldgate, and to cry," and the cry was incessantly to be, "Hellfire, hellfire." "The meaning is this," Berner says, "Christians are to live by faith, not by sense or feeling. They should derive their hope not from their feelings and frames in religious duties, but from Jesus Christ alone and his perfect righteousness. But if, on the contrary, they depend on their feelings, Satan may possibly enter the soul with innumerable doubts, and the fear of hell fire will be terrible." Bunyan goes on, "So when night was come, and all things by the tyrant were made ready for work, he suddenly makes his assault upon Fieldgate, and after he had a while struggled there, he throws the gate wide open." Oh, no. Oh, Lord. "For truth is," truth is, "those gates were but weak, and so most easily made to yield." Oh, my friend, need I tell you, this Fieldgate is a weak place. We are very, very vulnerable in this gate. Commentator said, "As faith is strong or weak, so are the feelings strong or weak. And at this crisis, faith is very weak, and therefore are the gates assailable and likely to yield even to a gentle pressure. It is the work of the night time, too, when the doubting soul is more than ever susceptible of alarms. Satan, moreover, sets the torments and terrors of his terrible army as the watchful sentinels of the gate of feeling. Faith and the other holy principles of the soul make resistance, but very feeble, for they are wounded and faint and weary. And now, notwithstanding the covenant of grace," notwithstanding the covenant of grace, "and the manifold gifts of the Spirit and the past experience of the man of God, Satan again enters the outer gate of man's soul. The flesh is subject to his dominion. The senses and feelings are held in his iron grasp. The thoughts and hopes and fears are dealt with according to his will, and only the heart is left. And he now seeks that to take, subdue, and finally possess it." we read Bunyan's expression of that. When Diabolus had thus far made his attempt, he placed his captains, namely Torment and Noes. I think I've met those guys. Pretty sure I have. He placed his captains, namely Torment and Noes, there. So he attempted to press forward, but the prince's captains came down upon him and made his entrance more difficult than he desired. And to speak truth, they made what resistance they could. But three of their best and most valiant captains being wounded, and by their wounds made much incapable of doing the town that service they would, and all the rest having more than their hands full of doubters and captains that did follow Diabolus, they were overpowered with force, nor could they keep them out of the town. Wherefore the prince's men and their captains betook themselves to the castle, as to the stronghold of the town. And this they did partly for their own security, partly for the security of the town, and partly, or rather, chiefly, to preserve to Emmanuel the prerogative royal of Mansoul, for so was the castle of Mansoul, the heart. They took to the heart to shelter there and to reinforce there to stand against this final onslaught. Because now, listen to these words, Diabolus could not be kept out of the town. This is a very discouraging picture, isn't it? Now, even though, let me say to you that even though Diabolus has broken down, he has broken down one gate and entered in, Field Gate. And he's flooding in. Let you not forget, this is still Emmanuel's town. This is still, Mansoul is still his town. And the heart, he has not occupied. Our commentator said this is the one, only, and last retreat of the soul. This lost, all is lost. This surrendered, covenant is broken. This retained, all may yet be restored as at first. Bible says out of the heart are the issues of life. Thither the captains and host retired. All the holy principles and thoughts and desires and affections and hopes of the soul congregated there, as in the inner shrine of the Holy One. The heart. They've all fled to the heart. Satan has broke down a gate, and he's made entry. But this is still Emmanuel's town, and they're in the heart of it. Bunyan says the captains, therefore, being fled into the castle, the enemy, without much resistance, possessed themselves of the rest of the town of Mansoul. And spreading themselves as they went into every corner, they cried out as they marched according to the command of the tyrant, Hell fire! Hell fire! Hell fire! So that nothing for a while throughout the town of Mansoul could be heard but the dire noise, Hell fire! Together with the roaring of the Diabolus drum. It is possible for the soul of man in this condition to truly believe itself to be lost again. Do you hear me? It is possible for the soul in this condition to truly believe it is lost again. All it can hear is hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. it's going to be hell fire for my soul. But is it? And now did the clouds hang black over man's soul? Nor to reason did anything but ruin seem to attend it. Diabolus also quartered his soldiers in the houses of the inhabitants of man's soul, the town of man's soul. Yea, the subordinate preacher's house was as full of these outlandish doubters as ever it could hold. And so was my Lord Mayor's and my Lord Wilbywill's also. Yea, where there was a corner, a cottage, a barn, or a hog sty, that now was not full of these vermin. Yea, they turned the men of the town out of their houses and would lie in their beds and sit at their tables themselves. Ah, poor man's soul. Now thou feelest the fruits of sin, and what vermin was in the flattering words of Mr. Carnal Security. Now you're going to start to feel it. They made great havoc of whatever they laid their hands on. Yea, they fired the town in several places. They burnt it up. Many young children also were by them dashed in pieces. Yea, those that were yet unborn, they destroyed in their mother's wombs. For you must needs think that it could not now be otherwise. For what conscience, what pity, what bowels or compassion can any expect at the hands of outlandish doubters? None, of course. Mason said unbelieving doubts and guilty fears impeach God's veracity. I like that. I like the way he said that. Boy, that's a summarizing statement. Unbelieving doubts and guilty fears impeach God's veracity. Call God a liar. Oh, be instant in prayer for the removal of these and an increase of faith in the infallible promise of unalterable truth. Boy, when these doubters flood in, you'll find no mercy at their hands. And they would dare to impeach the very veracity of God in your soul. Many in man's soul that were women, both young and old, they forced, ravished, and beast-like abused, so that they swooned, miscarried, and many of them died, and so lay at the top of every street and in all byplaces of the town. This is a bad picture right here. This is a horrible picture Bunyan has painted with words. We'll read our commentator's statements and finish for the day. Ah, poor man's soul. Poor man's soul. The description of the state of man's soul at this crucial juncture enables Bunyan to draw a picture of the condition of a soul laboring under the thraldom of Satan's tyranny. Holy thoughts conceived in the soul are scarce brought to the birth when their life is quenched within them. Yea, those that were yet unborn, holy thoughts not yet brought forth, prematurely perish. Unholy violence is done to the more gentle, weak, and sensitive feelings and compassions of the soul. Fresh acts of cruelty and wrong are perpetuated upon the conscience, which becomes more and more restless and uneasy, and upon the understanding, which is somewhat blinded and darkened by the ravaging horde. You remember there's a black cloud over the city, Bunyan said. and particularly upon the will, because of the mighty power he wields in man's soul. And as the margin would interpret it, quote, Satan has a peculiar spite against a sanctified will. A peculiar spite against a sanctified will. There is a beautiful graphic here. I say beautiful in the sense of art. It's a terrible and distressing graphic of the desolation of man's soul. It is something of a graphic portraiture of the experience that the Christian is having in a time like this. And Bunyan points us to the problem. This is a noteworthy sentence in this paragraph we read. It will provide for our hearts, I hope, a great warning when he says, now thou feelest the fruits of sin. And what venom was in the flattering words of Mr. Arnold Security? Oh, you thought it was wonderful then, but you're paying for it now. You're paying for it now. You're paying for it now. So all the good captains have fled back into the stronghold of the heart. Diabolians have flooded the town, but they do not yet own it. And by covenant, it belongs to Emmanuel. Oh, my dear brethren and sisters, there have been times that that was the only consolation I could see anywhere, is that he owns it, and he will not be deprived of it, notwithstanding what I have done to bring it to ruin. Any questions or comments on this section today? This is a hard reading today. A very hard reading indeed. Maybe you've never experienced this, and I hope you haven't. I hope you never will. But if you've ever given yourself to carnal security, you will feel the pain of these pages.